Well, I was the kind of kid in junior high who thankfully didn't get stuffed in lockers, and I wasn't really bullied. I was the kind of kid who would show up while the kid was emerging from the trash can. I flew below the radar, for which I'm really glad. I was never in the popular crowd. Most of the time, I was okay with that. But I remember once somebody, and I have no idea who it was, said, "Wow, Mike, you're starting to become popular." And I went, "Really?" And they never said that again, and I never was. So it was like for 30 seconds. But you know, I really didn't feel that bad about not being in the other in crowd because the Lord had blessed me with some good friends, especially from church. And as a whole, we were kind of middle tier, middle of the road. We were pretty good students, overall good kids. But you know, things changed in high school. We went from junior high to high school, and my family began to fall apart the week before high school. That was a lousy way to start things. Ended up going to a new school. My friends all had different lunch than me, so I'd show up in the lunchroom. There was nobody I knew. Then they began to do, my old buddies that I would see in class and in the hall began to do all kinds of stuff that I really knew I shouldn't be doing, and it became a very lonely year. I very much felt like an outsider looking in. I was hurting because my dad had left. I was struggling to make new friends. I became very depressed that year. My sophomore year was lousy. I wanted to belong bad, but not so bad as I was willing to do bad. God at least helped me and steered me that way. Many times that year in high school, I felt like I was outside a shop window, you know, in the snow, barefoot, while everyone inside was having fun and I could see them interacting, and I wished I could connect. Have you ever felt like an outsider and wanted in? You're here and everyone else is there. You wanted to be noticed and included. Well, there's lots of reasons we sometimes feel that way. Could be our personality. We're a little more shy and retiring. It could be other people are being turkeys. They're being jerks. It could be the pain of the past that keeps us from wanting to be hurt. It may be poor choices that we've made. Maybe we've done things and so people don't want to hang out with us. We've all had those feelings. But you know, we were created with the desire to belong and be part. That's just part of the human condition. And as much as we want to say, "I don't really care," we really still do if we really stop to think about it. You know, God, our Creator, He knows this, and He took notice. And you know, the greatest estrangement we could ever face was being separated from God because of our sin. And I love the fact that He stepped in and did something about that. And He has given us an offer. He has said, "You are an outcast, you can be an insider. You can draw near to me." And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. God saying, "Here I am. I draw near so you can draw near." Let's pray and then we'll jump into our study in Luke chapter 2. Lord, as we look into your word, I pray that you would teach and instruct us. I thank you, Lord, that you are Emmanuel, God with us, that you drew near. I pray, God, that we would draw near to you, that you would help us to respond, that we would receive what you are giving. I pray that no one here would go home not having become an insider with you because of your grace and mercy. We will give you thanks. Teach us and instruct us, Lord. Amen. Well, picture that it's this. It's you're up in the Siskiyous. Every prediction about the big blizzard, the storm front moving up has come. It's about 3 a.m. and it's about 10 degrees. You're in a small building somewhere connected to a giant garage, and this garage, this little room, is full of snowplow drivers. These are big guys. They've got heavy coats, and they've got big hats, you know, the kind with the ear flaps on. They've got their leather gloves and their scarves, and they're standing around the coffee pot waiting for the order. Out the door you go, guys. And they refill, and suddenly someone says, They say it's time, and they head towards the garage when suddenly there's a bright light. And it's not coming from the snowplow. It surrounds them. You know, it just so happens the angels aren't going to be on TV. The angels this year aren't going to the White House, and the angels aren't appearing to either Kate or Jerry Brown. They're appearing to those guys. They're kind of the guys on the margins, the guys that get up at 2 a.m. to go to work all alone. You know, it kind of feels like me as a teenager when I felt by myself. You don't even realize the snowplow drivers really exist until you can't get where you're going. You're stuck in your driveway if you're in town, or you're stuck on the pass by the side of the road. And yet they're important. And they're the guys you really want on the job. And gals too. I'm sure there's great lady snowplow drivers. But it's interesting that these kind of folks are the ones God showed up to connect with. Kind of blue collar, unappreciated, like the shepherds. Well, Luke's gospel talks about the shepherds. And we're going to take a look in Luke chapter 2. We read, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear." They were doing their night job, their day job. They weren't held in high regard. They were kind of the low end of the totem pole. It was steady work. Somebody had to do it. I imagine it's like if you own a sewage septic sucking service. You really are glad there's people doing that. We need them. You wouldn't want to be them. You know, you come back after work smelling bad, whether it be like sewage or sheep, same difference. But it started out as an ordinary night on the job. Stay awake, keep the predators away. But this night is going to end like no other night in those men's lives. They're about to be insiders to the best story in history. Because God is up to something, and he's not going to keep it a secret, but he's going to reveal it to the most unlikely cast of characters. Well, what do we have? The angels appear to these guys, and what's their response? Ah! They are afraid, fear. And you know, that's a good response to an angel. And just about everybody, I think, in the scriptures had that response. The angel's not mad. Why are you afraid? Why are you upset? No, he acknowledges it. And so the first thing, of course, he says is, don't be afraid. I love the fact that these guys aren't about to get kicked to the curb again. They're not about to be disrespected. The angel's going to say, why were you afraid? Whack, whack, whack. No, he's about to build them up and share good news with them. And they have been specially selected, similar to Mary, similar to Zechariah. Fear not's all over the Bible. You know, in Luke 1, this is what happened with Zechariah. There appeared an angel of the Lord standing to the right of the altar, and Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said, don't be afraid. Shoo, good, he's not going to die in the temple. You know, Mary was similar. An angel came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was troubled and tried to discern what kind of greeting this was going to be. And the angel said to her, again, don't be afraid. So Zechariah and Mary, the shepherds all felt fear. Interesting, the Christmas story is full of angels and people freaking out, but then comfort and assurance that it's going to be okay. You know, in this case, the angels told Zechariah and Mary, guess what? You're going to have firstborns. In case of Zechariah, it was your son is going to be the one who paves the way for the Messiah. In the case with Mary, you're going to have the Messiah. Whoa, how's that going to work? But that's the story for next week. But in this case, the shepherds are about to hear the one that was to come has come, and they should go check it out. They were given good news. And in verses 10 to 13, we read, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And the first people to get the news, besides Mary and Joseph, obviously, are the shepherds. The message goes out to these outcasts, not insiders. These folks out in the pasture, not in the palace. But guess what? The message it says is for all. The powerful, the impotent, the ignored, the adored, the oppressed, the privileged. Good news, there is a Savior for everybody. And so these shepherds went like this, from outcast to insiders, from outcast outside to inside. They were given the scoop. I love it. They get the first dibs on the truth. I don't know why God chose them. If it was me running the show, aren't you glad I'm not? I would have given it to the priest. I would have given it to King Herod and said, listen, and I would have made him be afraid for a while. Well, let's let him shake for a while. And then I would have told him. I would have started from the top and got the message down below. No, what'd God do? He started the bottom. He worked his way up. But this is his, but I think really the reason he probably did it is to show that this message of good news is for everybody. Doesn't matter who you are, what stage, what place you are at, this is for you. You know, it's interesting, the shepherds, they had a job where they dealt with dead bodies, they dealt with disease, they helped give birth to sheep, they got bloody, and therefore they were unclean. And they were probably, I can just imagine a shepherd saying, okay, we haven't had any sheep die in 5 days. I'm going to try to sneak away and get to the temple this Friday. And then what happens? Boom. Another one dies, bites the dust, and they're, oh, I'm unclean again. I can't go. These guys never had the chance, even if they had a day off. They were almost perpetually unclean, and they couldn't go worship. But that doesn't stop the news from getting their way. They're chosen to be the first ones to hear about the Savior. And I love that it's given. It doesn't matter if you're a social outcast, if you're economically challenged, religiously excluded, this is a message for everybody. And it's taken place in the city of David. And that's an interesting thought, because before David was the king, before he was in the line of the Messiah, he was a shepherd. And in fact, he wasn't thought much of, because when Samuel said, Jesse, bring all your sons, we're looking for a king, they brought all his brothers, boom, 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 boom. Not him, not him, not him, not him. Do you got any more kids? Well, yeah, I do have a son, David. He's out watching the sheep. Go get him. And he just happened to be an outsider who became an insider in the line of the Messiah, but it didn't start out that way. You know, I think of Abram, who became Abraham. He was from Ur of the Chaldees, and they started walking, and they settled in Haran, and he's hanging out there, and all of a sudden the Lord says to him, Abraham, pick up your stuff. Go to the land I'll show you, off to Canaan. Who's Abraham? I don't know, just some guy. But God did something with him, took him from outside, brought him inside. You know, think of Rahab and Ruth. They were chosen. They were foreigners. They responded to the message. They became part of the Israelite community. Think about Moses. He went from the palace to the pasture, back to leading the people out of Israel. He packed them out of Egypt. Think about how Jesus chose. He chose what a motley crew, tax collectors, fishermen, a rebel. And then Jesus would do things like welcome a guy like Zacchaeus, a chief tax collector, kind of guy who was so short and so mean, no one wanted to be around him. What's he do, climb a tree? Jesus hung out with people like the woman at the well, a true sinner. He gave his message to the Syrophoenician woman, said, hey, it doesn't matter if you're a foreigner, here you go. You can hear about me as well. I love the fact God takes those who are outside and he brings them in. This is good news indeed. Well, the angel finishes giving in this Lord, and the multitudes are praising, and we read in verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, and they might have been singing too, it just doesn't tell us. It says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. What an account. Bunch of guys at work. Boom, they're told the Savior's come. And guess what? He's not a 5,000-mile journey. You're going to have to cross the sea. You just got to leave your sheep or whatever they did with them and hike your way into town just over the next little hill. But here's their choice. What are they going to do? Are they going to take this news or leave it? Are they going to accept it? Are they going to check it out? Well, they're going to insist, hey, I'm just a shepherd. Nothing ever important happens to me. Or are they going to receive it? Will they receive this good news and let it change them? That's the choice they got to start out to make. God's saying, hey, you can be an insider. Come with me. Are they going to receive it? Well, we know they did receive it. They heard it. They accepted it. They acted upon it. And it changed them. And that's the same choice people have today. When you hear who God is and what he's done, what are you going to do with that message? Turn away, ignore it, dismiss it, or receive with gladness? John 1, 10 through 12 tells us that what most of the people of Israel did not do with Jesus. We read he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, but his own didn't receive him. Yet to all those who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. These shepherds grab hold of it. They received this message. Will you? Do you realize, like the shepherds, that you need a Savior? Will you receive Christ? Will you say yes to him? Well, the shepherds, though, They did say yes, but it didn't stop there. They were like the Thessalonians who, it says, they welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. After all, this was good news that they had been waiting for over 400 years. Because for 400 years between the last prophet Malachi and now, no one had heard from God. Well, that's not completely true because he did speak to Zechariah, which was probably just a little over a year earlier because John was older than Jesus. And he did speak to Mary and Joseph. But the general population at large had not heard from God for hundreds of years. And suddenly, who does he announce something big's going on to? These guys out in the field. And they're going to get to go see him. And that's what they do. In verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste. They didn't mess around. They're like, "Let's go check it out." I can imagine my junior high friends, "Dude, you really? All right, y'all." You know how you used to talk? Or I don't know what you said back in your day. Well, you were more sophisticated. So you use big words I don't even know probably in talking together. Is that true, Elvin? No? Oh, okay. "Far out." That's what you said. And some of you were like, "Groovy." But anyway, the shepherds got the message loud and clear. But they'd received the good news. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to respond? And it's interesting, they have three responses. They go find the child, they're going to give the word out to everybody, and they're going to glorify him, they're going to praise him. But their first response in verse 16 is they go with haste. Because how many times do we sense God is talking to us through his word, through prayer, through someone else, and we just become like molasses? Like, "Kids, it's time for bed. You want a donut? Whoom! It's time to take out the trash." You know, and we've been talking about the definition of obedience. And in our family, the definition is obedience is doing what's expected of me immediately, thoroughly, and cheerfully. And sometimes we have to work on all three of them. But, you know, if we put things off, we have a tendency to put things off. And when we do, we can miss out on what God has for us. He's like, you know, sometimes it's time to act. If we delay, we're not obeying. But these guys jump. Lots of people in the Bible, though, they when God said, "Hey, I got a message for you," how'd they respond? Well, Eve questioned, "Did God really say?" You know, Sarah laughed, "Me have a kid? No way, I'm too old." Gideon tested, "Well, I'm not really sure, Lord." Jonah, he ran. Zechariah doubted. But no, these shepherds, what do they do? They make haste. And they found Mary and Joseph in the baby lying in a manger. Aren't you so glad God wasn't putting them on a wild goose chase? God is not messing with them. This is good news. Their response is to go. Boom, let's check it out. What do? They find his mother and dad. They find Jesus, and is that the kid? Well, there's a manger, and he's laying in, and he's wrapped up tight. I guess that's him. But the thing is, they don't just go and then go back to the fields and tell the sheep about it. They begin to communicate it. They give the word out to others. We don't know who they told, but evidently they let people know. In verse 17, when they saw it, I don't know why they use "it" because it sounds like bad. Don't call your kid an "it." When they saw Jesus, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. Evidently they told Mary some things and they told others. They give the news away. They gave an account of what they saw and heard. They gave an earful to anyone who would listen. And I wonder how many others would have said, "You know what? I'm going to go check this out." I don't know. I hope some people did. And this was big news. And big news should change us. You know, this is bigger than a new app to block robocalls on your cell phone. You know, this is bigger news than the path to fame, the fortune, than cure for horrible diseases. This is news that you can have your sins forgiven. There is a Savior ready to take you from being an outsider to be an insider. And what's your response to this? Will you go check it out? Will you give the word out? Will you glorify him? We read in verse 18, "And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them." I think it's because back then shepherds were considered a little shady. Kind of untrustworthy. You can't get the tone of voice Maybe they're wondering, wow, it really happened. Maybe they're just not believing, but nevertheless, Mary treasures up all these things in her heart. She treasured up all these things. She pondered them in her heart. She believed it for good reason. An angel had appeared to her, had appeared to Joseph, her fiance. She'd gotten pregnant through unnormal means. And so I'm imagining when these shepherds are showing up, oh, there he is. Hey, you must be the mom. I have a feeling she went, yeah, I know about angels. I know about what he's saying about this baby. And that would have been pretty amazing. Later on, the word continued to get out. Herod and the wise men heard, who is this who's been born king of the Jews? Well, the shepherds left that night. We read in verse 20. They returned glorifying and praising God for all they'd seen and heard as it had been told them. They received the message. They responded to the message and they rejoiced because of the message. That's the best response they could have had. God sent a Savior, and guess what? He sent a Savior to us of all people. They could have just gone back to bed, though I doubt it. I have a feeling they were pumped. They did not sleep well that night. Hopefully they didn't fall asleep on the job the next day. They spread the message out, and they rejoiced because of it. And they went from being outcasts to insiders, the ultimate insiders. They became included. So can you. Will you rejoice and glorify God? Because he is saying, you can have your sins forgiven. I will be your Savior. I will deal with your problem. I will make you new. I will give you the hope of heaven and assurance of my presence with you. What happened and what those shepherds were told that long ago night can be for you as well. This applies, for unto you was born that day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. God sees you in your situation. He invites you in. This is not just now you're in the junior high cool club. This is now you become connected with the living God. If you say yes to that opportunity because of Jesus, you can go from out there to inside and you'll never regret it. Let's pray. Lord God, I want to ask that you would be at work in our hearts. Help us to say yes to you. No matter what you ask of us, Lord, it is going to be good. And you are mighty and you are powerful and we can trust you completely. Help us, Lord, to receive your message, to respond with all of us who we are and to rejoice in you. And all God's people said, amen.